time of fellowship. Would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew 26? Matthew chapter number 26. And I was studying this afternoon, and the thought of worship just kept coming to my heart and my mind. And for a couple minutes while I was studying, I went to the Land of Nod. Y'all ever been there? Start nodding off a little bit, getting a little sleepy. But I thank the Lord that He is still faithful, even though sometimes I get tired. Amen. But the thought of worship kept coming to my mind and my heart, and I thought about this little woman who is listed here in Matthew 26 and verse number 6. And so I hope that this will be a blessing and a help to you the way that it has been to me already this afternoon, and I anticipate it'll help me some more. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her.'" Heavenly Father, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Lord, I need your understanding. I need your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that as I preach tonight that you would help our hearts. Lord, you would remind us of your goodness. And Lord, that we can bring our worship to you. Father, I pray that you'll forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I have failed you. Lord, let me be pure and holy before you. God, as I preach to these people, give them understanding. Give us wisdom and give us knowledge. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. I want to preach to you on this thought, the woman with the alabaster box. And I want to sort of set the scene if I could. Now first, in verse number 6, it says, "Now Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper." Now we don't know exactly who Simon the leper is. Some believe that Simon the leper is one of two. He is either the father of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, in the same place where they were from, or he is the husband of Martha, who had the brother and sister, Mary and Lazarus, and you guys know all about them. And so we're not completely sure as to who Simon the leper is, but he no doubt had a love and a care for the things of the Lord Jesus and for the disciples. And many times we read about how that this precious family helped the cause of Christ in those days. So in this scene that's going on here, Jesus is nearing the cross. And as far as the Jewish leaders are concerned, his fate is sealed. It's done. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. And in the Pharisees' mind, they are finally rid of this nuisance that they know as Jesus, as the one who's stirring up problems and rebelling against their system and going against their leadership. So in their eyes, it's done. But there was a feast of the Passover, so the Jews did not try to take Jesus out of respect for this time and for the people. They feared what would happen to the people had they taken Jesus. In Matthew, for this feast, we find Jesus in the leper's house and he's sitting down to eat. Matthew 9:13 says, "For I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I'm so glad that Jesus would go and will still go where sinners are. Amen. I'm glad that he's willing to meet them in the place that they're at. He doesn't expect them to get cleaned up or to get better or to get wiser or to get stronger. Jesus will go to where they are and meet them in the condition that they are to help them not be what they are any longer. Amen. And I'm so glad that the Lord does that. So come with me. I hope that I've set the scene some, but come with me as we enter into this dining room and watch the events of this night unfold in front of our eyes. I like looking at the Word of God that way, and I hope that you do too. This is a story, and we can sort of get a private entry. We get to be flies on the wall, if you will, and we get to see what's happening here when we read this Scripture. See, this story that I read to you a moment ago, we know what's going to happen in the future. We know what's coming. But as they were sitting down at dinner time for this feast of the Passover, they did not understand what was going to happen. They didn't know what the significance of this meeting was with the Lord. They certainly didn't understand the significance of Mary bringing her alabaster box full of the ointment and anointing the Lord Jesus Christ with it. They didn't understand these things. And so we cannot lose the awe and the wonder that Scripture has when we read about something that happened here. We're looking at an event that was life-changing. There are other women named Mary that are later in the Scripture that go to the cross and that go to the tomb. But this Mary understood who and what Jesus was. And so Jesus noted that He was anointed by her for His burial. That's why we don't see her there at those places anymore. She had already brought the significant amount of worship that was needed for Him, for this event in His life, to Him, and therefore she passes off the pages of history and we don't see her anymore. Y'all with me? All right. So, in looking at this thing, the first event that takes place as we're the fly on the wall in the room watching this dinner take place, Mary brings her alabaster box of ointment. In Matthew 26 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." So in those days, the Jews would recline as they ate. Now, I don't know if you can picture this in your mind, but not a dinner table in the sense that we have it, where there are chairs where we're sitting upright and facing one another. They would have been reclined. It's the same reason why the night of the Passover, when Jesus is with His disciples, that we read that the disciple John laid his head in the bosom of Jesus. It's the same reason. They were reclined to eat dinner. They were sort of taking it easy. And this woman comes in with her alabaster box and breaks it and begins to anoint Jesus while He's in the middle of partaking in this dinner. Now, something interesting here is that alabaster is a mostly white stone. And in this time, it would have been handmade, so it would have been very expensive and reserved for the very best treasures. It was very likely the very best that Mary had in those days. Another scripture notes that it could have been sold, or at least the contents of this alabaster box could have been sold for 300 pence. In that day and in those times, you guys remember back in John chapter number 12, I talked about this and brought this out when we studied that. But in those days, a day's wage was a penny a day. And so this box, alabaster box of ointment, cost nearly
two-thirds, or over two-thirds rather, I shouldn't say nearly, over two-thirds of an annual paycheck. Take your annual pay and put it into perspective. Anything that you bought that took two-thirds of your yearly pay, that would be rather precious to you. Not only because of the hours that you would have to work, and not only because of the financial burden it might place on your family, but simply because the cost would be very, very great. So this alabaster box that Mary has brought to anoint Jesus with the contents thereof is precious in what it is, but it also precious in what it contains. And Mary takes that box that cost her so much money and so much time, and she breaks that box. She broke that box. Mark 14:3, the Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." The absolute best that Mary had, she broke it and gave it to the Lord. She is worshiping Jesus with the very her absolute best. And she takes what was precious to her and what was costly to her, and she breaks it as though it is nothing. And she gives it over to this Savior. I don't know if you're understanding the significance or if I'm doing a good job explaining the significance of this event. Mary took the most precious possession that she had, and she made it to none effect so that the Lord Jesus could get glory out of it. Not so that she could enjoy it any longer. We don't know if maybe she bought it for the anointing of Lazarus' body in John chapter number 11. You guys remember that? How that Lazarus had died, Jesus raised him from the dead. We don't know if she bought it because she liked the smell of spikenard, the ointment that it contained. We don't know the reason, but we do know that she took the most precious thing that she had and she broke it for the Lord. I would like to say to you tonight, whatever is precious in your life that you may be exalting above the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will break that thing and bring it to Him and say, "Lord, it's what I have. I give you my most costly, my most expensive. I give you my best, and I pour it over your head or lay it at your feet. God, just take it and use it." God will use that gift when you give it. Her alabaster box of ointment she brought to Him. He goes further to say that she did this in the preparation of His burial. Now, what she did, for those of you that's writing this down, this will be number two, I guess. What she does is worship. The world saw as waste. What she was doing to worship the Lord, The world just saw it as a complete and total waste. Verse number 8 says, "But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" Matter of fact, John 12 and verse number 4 says that in specifically that it was Judas that brought up how much it was worth and why it was wasted. I like the New Testament of the Bible because we can see the correlation. It's called the harmony of the Gospels. If you ever care to look this up and study it, we find how that the Gospels coincide with one another and how that they're the same story is told time and time again, and it gives us a greater understanding, a commentary, if you will, of what's going on here. But this lady did this act of worship, and the disciples got upset, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" They thought that because she had broken something and poured it on the Lord, that it had been completely and totally wasted. But when your best is broken, the world isn't going to understand how that you're going to worship the Lord with it. You take all that you have and all that you can garner in a day or in a year or however long it takes you to amass wealth or whatever it may be, and you let those things get broken, or maybe they're broken out of your control, and you continue to worship the Lord in the midst of it. This is love for the Lord. Your family falls apart. You just go ahead and decide that you're going to worship the Lord anyway. You lose the good job. You say, well, I'm just going to worship the Lord anyway. Your heart gets broken because you lose a family member to death. Well, I'm just going to worship the Lord anyway in the midst of this great trial. The McCamey sung a song years ago, God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings me to my knees, though my tears flow down like river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to call defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, though it brings me to my knees. This alabaster box that was broken is done so to show that whatever is precious to us can be broken and viewed as waste, yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, I love this, and it gets His attention. Psalm 95 and verse number 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I'm reminded of another passage where the world saw waste, but God saw a victory intended. 1 Samuel 17, verses 28 and 29, David is standing before his brothers. Now he's already defeated the bear, he's already defeated the lion, and soon he will face mighty Goliath. But the greatest hurdle, I believe, that David faced was not that he wasn't prepared for the battle against Goliath, it's that his own family didn't believe that he had the ability to face Goliath. Look here what we read in 1 Samuel 17, 28 and 29, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Our cause for worship and our cause, so even the things that the world sees as waste, our cause for worship is not what we can get out of it, but what we can give to the Lord through what we're going through. David asked, is there not a cause? And in a sense, this woman is showing the cause. So you go ahead and worship the Lord the way you are with what you have to give. Can I run another rabbit tonight? Something that gets under my skin is when churches or people put regulations on who gets to sing in the choir. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket and your bucket has got holes in it, even if you could. I want you in Gateway Baptist Choir. If you can't sing a note of not one song, I will sing louder and maybe it'll drown us both out. Amen? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There is nothing so stinking pharisaical as when someone tells another person they ain't good enough to praise the Lord. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? That means even your voice and how it sounds was made to praise and to glorify God. There ain't a man in this world that ought to get to tell you whether or not you can open up your mouth and praise God with what He gave you. Take what's broken and let the Lord use it for His honor and His glory. Amen? That was all free. You go ahead and worship the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 100 to enter into His courts with praise and into His gates with thanksgiving. Not one time did He say it, do it in perfect harmony and perfect pitch and perfect tune. I'm glad where the world hears waste, God hears glorification. Amen? See, worship is an act of love from you to the Lord. And love does not count the cost of what it costs to worship. And love is always eager to give. Matthew 26:9 said, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." John 12:5 says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" They weren't worried about the poor. They were just worried about somebody doing something for God that they didn't like. I know that's never happened, has it? We don't get to decide who glorifies God. The Lord uses whom He sees fit to glorify Himself. Amen? I guess here's a number three. Her work that she did with the alabaster box was for the Lord Jesus and nobody else. She didn't say, "You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to take my alabaster box of ointment and I'm going to go impress all the disciples by dumping it on Jesus' head." She did not say that. She didn't say that, "Man, I'm really going to impress all the other ladies in the women's auxiliary club because I'm going to take my expensive ointment and I'm going to pour it over the head of Jesus and everybody's going to know who I am for the rest of my life and all throughout as long as the Bible's preached." That was not her intention at all. Her intention was simply to worship the Lord. It was solely for His benefit and His benefit alone. Now, what makes that interesting and significant is that when you go back to the Old Testament, there was different types of offerings. Y'all remember those? There was the offering to pay for the trespass, or the trespass offering. There was the blood atonement that was given. But there was one offering that seemingly made no sense. It was simply called the burnt offering. And its sole purpose was to be a sweet savor in the nostrils of our God. Wasn't nobody supposed to eat it? It might have been that good barbecue smell. There's some good smelling stuff getting cooked today. Well, that's okay that's getting cooked, but that right there that's getting cooked, that's for the Lord, and you ain't touching that. And that sweet savor would go up to heaven, and God would smell that, and that offering was an act of worship. And so there's a lot of people that get outraged today at the waste of giving money or giving something to Christ and Christ alone to minister to Him. And these people will never get the understanding or the idea behind the burnt offering. There are some things that you give and some things that you do. It doesn't make sense to the world, but it glorifies God and it brings God pleasure. And when we glorify God and we bring God pleasure, God is satisfied with those offerings. When there's no ulterior motive behind what we're doing or what we're saying, when we're not just doing it to see who can be the best preacher or who can be the best musician or who can be the best singer in the choir or down at the church, but simply so that God gets glory. Worship is our act of love. And worship is not about what we can get out of it, but what we can give God in it. And last thing here, and I'll be done. We're running well. It's 7:08. I know ain't none of you looked at your watch. I appreciate that. God honors this little lady by remembering her on the pages of eternity. This little woman brought her gift to the Lord. She gave it to the Lord. The Lord was glorified in what she done. And here's what He says in verse number 13. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial to her. Here I am, 2,025 years after Christ walked the face of the earth, after He was born, and I'm still preaching about this little lady. We're a long way from Bethany. We're a long way from Jerusalem. We're a long way from Israel. We're a long way from the places where great men like Charles Wesley and John Wesley preached. We're a long way from where George Whitefield preached up in the northern states. We're a long way even from where his name left my mind. It doesn't matter. He ain't the one I need to glorify. Amen. We're a long way from all of those places. But I will tell you this, friend. Here we are in this church tonight preaching about the same little lady that all she did was glorify God. And God set her up as a memorial to remember that when you glorify God, God remembers this. Every time that somebody opens their Bible and reads, this woman is remembered. Every time that some little preacher stands somewhere all over the world and preaches this story, she's remembered, not because she did a great work or fed a lot of hungry people or started a great missionary union or inspired missionaries all over the world, but simply because she glorified Jesus in what she had in the day that she had to do it in. See, He said, the poor you have with you always. You will always, church, you will always have the opportunity to feed the poor. And I believe that it honors and glorifies God in doing that. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But there are some times that we need to do things that solely and specifically glorify Him and Him alone. And lift Him up. Here's what He said in John 12. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Lift up the Lord. Worship the Lord. Take your alabaster box, whatever's precious to you, and break it and give the contents to the Lord. Doesn't matter whether or not anybody understands. Just do it for His benefit and His benefit alone. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the ability once again to preach. I thank You for the privilege, Lord. God, I pray that as this message has went out tonight, God, that it's been a blessing. It's been a help to someone. Lord, help me to remember that my motives should be to glorify and to worship You and not to glorify and worship others or even myself, Lord. God, help. God, help our church. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us?